ancient warfare, the final Minoan periods of history. The two periods that are left are the post-palatial period, which runs from 1370 BC to 1100 BC, and post-Minoan Crete, which runs from 1100 BC till the 20th century. Now let's start with post-palatial. The last period of Minoan civilization after the destruction of Knossos was characterized by the absence of a central power on the island. This allowed the various Cretan centers to operate in relative independence, always, however, under Mycenaean authority, who had the political power and was now projected from the city of Mycenae on the Greek mainland. It is also very significant that one of the regions with the greatest prosperity was West Crete, which was based on Chiana, which was closely linked to the centers in the Argolid and Boeotia. The dynamic of post-palatial Crete was reflected in the figure of Idomeneus, who represented Crete gloriously in the Trojan War. All over Crete, many settlements continue to exist, but with very clear signs of Mycenaean influence. You would have found that in the architecture, definitely in the pottery, as well as miniature art. However, the Cretans apparently never forgot their past. They preserved their traditions in both their lives and in their art. The Minoan culture, even though it was in decline, maintained its own peculiar character, and as such was the strength of this culture. And such was the strength of this culture that elements of it persisted for many centuries afterwards, in spite of the arrival in Crete of new people bringing their own tribal as well as cultural elements. So the main palace may have collapsed, but the city's just there being run by the Minoan or the Mycenaeans for a while. Post-Minoan Crete. The final end of the Minoan civilization roughly coincided with the end of the Bronze Age and the transition into the Iron Age. In Crete, this was preceded by a brief period that has been called the Sub-Minoan Era, from the survival of some of the settlements in the mountainous parts of the island, probably indigenous, which is not uncommon. You have people in the lowlands, they are subjected to conquest. They head up into the highlands and try to survive there. They probably lived in the highlands and moved down to the lowlands at another time. Cretans who either withdrew or were driven out of their lowland areas went, obviously, up into the mountains. Certain aspects of Minoan Crete survived in these settlements for centuries, in stark contrast to the rest of the island, which rapidly assimilated the cultural elements of the various Hellenic tribes that were continuously arriving. During the Iron Age, Crete was divided in the city-states, with great rivalry between them, which usually led to wars, which ended up depriving Crete of the prosperity of the classical period that was enjoyed by the rest of the Greek world. Although this is to deny the fact that the same thing didn't happen in Greece, that you had individual city-states and they ended up warring with one another. And even during the great golden age of Greek philosophy and architecture, that's right in the middle of the Peloponnesian War, the 30-year civil war between Athens and Sparta. So sometimes the Greeks kind of get their fighting background a little over glossed over, shall we say. So, now, Crete only returned to high culture during the Roman period, when it was an important colony of the Roman Empire. And the city of Gortyn is the seat of that Roman power. During all this time, Knossos continued to be inhabited and even enjoyed a prosperity that began in the early Greek geometric period, as the rich cemetery to the cities to the north shows. In the Archaic period, an important sanctuary was built at Knossos. The Temple of Demeter was built on the hill of Gypsade. Now, Knossos, while not a political power, now still maintained its cultural influence over the whole island. At least in classical and Hellenistic times, Knossos was one of the leading cities in Crete, sometimes an ally, sometimes an enemy of the cities of Lycodas, Gortyn, and Cydonia. In the Roman period, the city of Gortyn, as I said, was the political center of Crete. But by 200 AD, Knossos was once more an important city with splendid buildings, one of which was the Villa of Dionysius. Now, the Villa of Dionysius was actually the seat of a local official, and it gets the name, like a lot of the Roman villas do, from the mosaic that you find in it. And in this case, it's mosaics depicting various scenes of the life of Dionysius, which certainly will make good viewing. The Roman villa had three large rooms, which are arranged around the central court. And there was also a colonnade with Doric porous stone columns. There was a headless statue of the Emperor Hadrian that was found in this site. Obviously, his body did better than his head, but it's not unusual. Now, the district of Knossos after that was then occupied by Byzantines, then Arabs, then the Venetians, and finally the Ottoman Turks. Afterward, it remained almost insignificant and forgotten until the beginning of the 20th century, when the first excavations began rescuing it and returning it to its glory from the past oblivion that had overtaken it. And it's interesting that during this period, after the Romans are replaced and everything is divided up, that a lot of these cities are just basically buried or just left alone. Mycenae was just sitting there in the mountains. Delphi was a couple of local tribes lived on it, but they didn't do any construction. They just lived in their village over the top of it, which made it easy for the government to move. And in Knossos, you have other places on the island where everybody is moving. So this valley, just where the palaces, was just covered over with quite a bit of material, as you'll find when we go through the next section, where I'm going to talk about who does the excavations and how the recovery of Knossos will take place. So we have two more shows on Knossos and the Minoans, one on the excavations, and the other one will be on the controversy over the recreations of the city. Then we will move on into Troy. Now, the sources for this are the Minoans, The Life in the Bronze Age Crete by Castleton, Knossos, A New Guide to the Palace of Knossos by Tzourkas, Knossos Before the Palaces by Wilson, and The Palace of Minos at Knossos, 4 volumes by Arthur Evans. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com, or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question. Leave a comment, check out the CDs. If you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.